Somebody's playing a beautiful piano. Test. Are you going to turn the piano off? It's beautiful.
Maybe we could sing that song.
I don't know that song. Or maybe I do and I just didn't recognize it.
Come back out with every blessing.
Oh, Adina can sing it for you.
No, she can't.
Good morning. Here I am to worship.
Listening and loving God, as we gather this morning to worship you, may we speak truth, so that our words may give grace to those who hear. May we pray in faith, so that our words may give grace to those who hear. May we sing with joy, so that our words may give grace to those who hear. May we listen with open minds and receptive hearts, so that your words may give grace to us who hear. Amen.
The sun comes up, it's a
Standing for that one. Oh, well.
Well, now it is. Okay. If you didn't hear that before, welcome here. It's not working. I'll try it again. Oh, there we go. Welcome here. what a beautiful day. I wanted to start with introduction of guests. And I know that there is one guest that has come from California. Herta Bullinger's sister, Elvira Bolle, is with us today. I don't know if you'd like to stand so everyone can see you. is there anybody else that would like to introduce a guest? I haven't been given any other names, so I'll just continue here. Going through the announcements, of course, we want to look at the people who are in hospital and personal care homes and remember them. Our heartfelt condolences to Liana Klopecki, her mother Hildegard Knopf, and the extended family, of course, of Liana's husband Donald Klopecki as he passed away this last Wednesday. I believe that according to the obituary, there will be having a personal, a small ceremony somewhere. So if you want to go to that, you have to email Liana and find out directions. Thanks go to the Family Ministries Committee for a lovely lunch last week and everybody who helped out with that. There's a change of address for Mr. Klein. As this morning, we're also having another constitutional kind of meeting next Sunday at 10 a.m. So if you weren't able to be there today, you can come next week, and it's a continuation of that discussion. Starting with number 6, the Pioneer Boys Club is having registration tomorrow. So if you have a little boy in your house, or you know somebody that would benefit from that kind of environment, that's a good place for them to go. It looks like September 28th is a busy day around here. In 2 weeks, the Sunday school program is going to be registering children that day, and the Baby Boomers group is going to the zoo. And I believe there's an announcement from Elizabeth.
Hello, yes. On Sunday, September 28th, the Zinc group wants to meet as well. So we're planning a potluck at James and Kim's house. That's 59 Delbrook Crescent. So that's anybody, members, non-members, from 20 to 50. So if you're a Gen X or Y, this is a big group. I guess anybody who doesn't fall under the baby boomer group can come to ours. All your children can come as well. We're going to have some games and food and fellowship and dress for the weather. We might go outside. Their house is right by the park there. And bring a main course and a salad, or a main course and dessert. And you can please email or Kim or phone to let them know how many people to expect. And I think this will be in the bulletin next week. So if you know someone who should come, let them know. Thanks.
Thank you. I just thought you might get tired of hearing me. There's also an adult Sunday school class that's starting in 3 weeks from now, and a potluck that day when we're having communion and Thanksgiving. And you know what? There are so many announcements, but I am sure that you are all capable of reading them. So I will leave it at one more thing, that if you aren't a baby boomer and you're not a Gen XY and you're not a small boy going to Pioneer Boys, you can go to choir. And or you can go to all of them, I don't care, but the Thanksgiving, which is October 5th, the choir will be singing for that service, and rehearsals will be taking place on Thursdays, starting this week at 8 o'clock, and the following two Thursdays it'll be at 7 o'clock. So you can come early this week, but don't come late the next 2 weeks. How's that? All right. Are there any other announcements? I'm sure I'm forgetting something. Yes, absolutely.
Just a reminder that on October the 19th, we'll be having our Musical Sunday. Got a couple of pieces being put together right now, but if you know somebody, if you are that person that would like to serve the congregation in song that day, please give me a call. I am in the phone book, so please give me a call. Thanks.
See, there's a place for everyone to plug in here. I believe that we will now go into our sharing time. If there's anybody who would like to share, Ingo has a microphone, or you can come up here to the podium.
Good morning. It's been 8 months almost since I stood up here for the first time sharing about Melanie, who was in a coma for many weeks and sort of recovering for many months. Just wanted to share a bit of an update, if that's okay. So she went home about 7 weeks ago, and when she went home, she was still needing to use the wheelchair a lot of times, using a walker. She bought two canes, but was barely walking with two canes, and she was doing stairs, just really short ones. She had a lot of nerve pain, which is constant and giving her a lot of grief, and it was certainly a very difficult transition home. She was happy to be home, but a difficult transition. And certainly since she's come home, she's really continued to improve, and we're sort of continually thankful and blessed that she's continuing to get better. She now walks around pretty much unaided for short distances. Last weekend she tried riding her bike. Well, that didn't go so well. She didn't hurt herself, but let's say it was a short ride. She's going around the grocery stores. She's able to, with the help of very generous friends and family, some of whom are here today, she goes to physio. She goes out for lunches and dinners. I mean, she has a busier social life than I do, I think, sometimes. She's allowed to drive, and she's driven their vehicle for short distances. There's been some ongoing challenges just with their condo, which is a lovely condo along Waterfront Drive, but the elevator's broken a couple of times, and she can't do that many stairs on the fifth floor, and she's trapped then. And they've had two or three fire alarms where she's kind of feeling really vulnerable. False alarms, thankfully, but some challenges going home. Soon, Melanie and Guy, her husband, are going to be celebrating their anniversary, and they're actually going to go to where are they going? They're going to a hotel with a spa. And tomorrow is her 42nd birthday. In January and February, we didn't think she'd make it this far, and so we're sort of blessed and thankful for the miracle of her recovery. And we're keenly aware it's a really significant milestone that she's made it to her birthday. So, thank you.
That's why I don't make that announcement. All right. We're going to have a prayer now. Oh, no, we're going to have a song now, right? Leanna has asked that we sing a song entitled Why Should I Feel Discouraged? Carol is going to play piano, Janet is going to lead us, and you should have received a copy of it when you entered the church today. I'm going to step away from the mic.
We're going to sing the first two verses, so just join in as you feel comfortable. It's an old gospel tune, so hopefully it will start to feel familiar as we go through.
Pause for prayer. for all the blessings of this life. We give you thanks, O God, for the beauty of the nature around us. Fall is near, and yet warm days call us outside. Fruit and vegetables from the garden still fill our tables. We feel the nights growing colder, and the beauty of the leaves surrounds us. The days are getting shorter, and we know winter will surely come again. But we thank you so much for families, friends, colleagues, neighbors, and strangers who nurture us, and that the love of God may grow within. May your love be like a seed taking root and growing strong. For the leaders of our various nations and cities, and even our own church, we pray that they may lead with strong hearts and gentle hands and generous spirits, with compassion and mercy, with wisdom and grace. May they reflect your will, guiding all of their actions and decisions. May your love be like a seed taking root and growing strong. For those who serve in harm's way, those who live in dangerous places as refugees, hostages, after the wake of natural disasters, those who live in areas of war and strife, those who live in fear, those who worry about employment, bills, food, and struggle just to find dignity in life. May your grace bring peace and safety to all people, one to another. May your love be like a seed taking root and growing strong. For those who suffer from any illness or disease of mind, body, or spirit, restore these and all those we carry in our hearts to fullness of health as only you can bring. May your love be like a seed taking root and growing strong. For those who are dying or those who have passed away, send forth your comforting love. Give solace to those who mourn and accept changes in their lives, their abilities, their address, their family situations, their health. Console those who grieve. We pray especially for Liana, the family and friends of Donald, at this tender time. May they treasure the times that they spent with him and celebrate his life. May your love be like a seed taking root and growing strong. Thank you that you find us, listen to us, save us, and guide us. Amen. We're going to have here by the water. Okay.
Would you please stand if you're able?
I know it was stormy.
Hope it was for me and Lonnie.
Light on the road wasn't mine, no. Someone that I know is what to be born. Near by the water, I'll build an altar to praise him. Out of the stones that I found here, I'll set them down here, rough as they are. Here by the water, I'll build an altar to praise him. Out of the stones that I found here, I'll set them down here, rough as they are. Knowing you can make them holy, knowing you can make them holy, knowing you can make them holy.
Time for children's story. If you are a child, you may come to the front here to hear Ingrid's story for today.
Good morning. How are you guys today? Oh, it's good to see you, that you are sitting closer, because I told you I don't bite, right? Okay. I have to tell you a secret. Grown-ups keep learning their whole life long, because when I read that the story today was going to be about the sower and the seed, I thought, oh, it's easy, I know that story, no problem. And then I started to think about it, and I realized I didn't know it as well as I did. So, here you go, my thoughts on a new story. I used to think that the story was all about the seeds. And it isn't, it's all about the dirt. And guess what? We are the dirt. So there's all kinds of different dirt, and it's kind of funny. I thought it was kind of funny to have a story about planting stuff when it's fall and we're actually getting all the stuff out. But again, the story's not about the seeds. What's the story about? It's about the dirt. So there's all kinds of different dirt, and there are some kinds of dirt that are good for seeds, and there are some kinds of dirt that are maybe not so good for seeds, but we are all kinds of dirt. So sometimes we are this kind of dirt. What kind of dirt is there? It's a road. It's a gravel road dirt. Sometimes we are gravel road dirt. And is gravel road dirt good for seeds? No, because gravel road dirt is the kind of dirt that people walk on because they're in a hurry and they're going somewhere and they want to get there and they're not really ready to have a seed change them. So sometimes we are gravel road dirt. Is that okay? Is it good to be gravel road dirt all the time? No. Okay, we have another kind of dirt. What kind of dirt is that? It's rocky dirt. Yes, rocky dirt. Sometimes we are rocky dirt. And rocky dirt has like good dirt in between, but there's like bunches of things that get in the way. And sometimes we're like rocky dirt. We kind of want a little bit of a seed to grow in us, but really we're more interested in the big chunks that are kind of in the way. And so no, we're not changing too much. Is it okay to be rocky dirt sometimes? Is it okay to be rocky dirt all the time? No. One more kind of dirt. This one's kind of hard to tell. That's not a great picture. Thorns, yes. Weeds. Thorny dirt. So, again, stuff grows in thorny kind of dirt, right? Yeah, is it good stuff? No. So it means we're ready to change, but we maybe don't want to change the way that is maybe the best thing for us. But it's kind of, so is it okay to be that sometimes? Yeah, it's not great, but it happens, right? Okay, and here's the last kind of dirt. Oh, this is good dirt. What's growing in that dirt? A beautiful green plant. It looks pretty healthy, doesn't it? And I like this picture because what's that good dirt surrounded by? Hands. Somebody's holding that dirt. This is the dirt we all wish we could be all the time. Good dirt. Good dirt that wants to change. Good dirt that has hands surrounding it, loving it, helping it to be the best dirt ever. Who do you think can help us with that. God can help us with that. Is there other some people that can help us with that? Pastors, moms and dads, people that love us. You know what? One of the reasons I come to this church is because when I come here, I feel like this good dirt with a beautiful plant in it, surrounded by hands that love me and are trying to help me be the best kind of dirt I can be. Okay, let's pray. Dear Jesus, we want to be like the good dirt. Help us to listen to God's word, put it into practice in our daily life. In your name we pray. And you can go sit back with your families today.
As we take the collection, please join us with, Lord, you have come to the lakeshore.
Come to the lake shore, looking neither for wealthy nor wife hung. You only ask me to follow humbly. Oh Lord, with your eyes you have searched me, kindly smiling, have spoken my name.
For that. In preparation for worship leading this week, I Googled learning to listen and wanted to see what would come up from that. And in exploring the internet, I came upon a TED Talk, which can be accessed on your computer or through Netflix or whatever. And they're talks that are sponsored by Technology, Entertainment, and Design, which is a nonprofit organization that wants to spread good ideas. And they had a speaker who makes his living as a sound expert, and his name is Julian Treasure. And I was wanting to find out ways to learn to listen better, and he had a talk on how to speak so that people want to listen. And from that, I came away with an acronym that is HAIL, H-A-I-L. And he seemed to say that these were foundations of powerful speaking. H meaning honesty, A speaking with authenticity, I for integrity, and L for love. And I thought, okay, well, that's really interesting, but later I thought, well, that's how Jesus spoke, and that's why people would listen. Just a little segue to our Bible reading from Mark 4, 1-20, which I've taken from the Contemporary English Version. A story about a farmer. The next time Jesus taught beside Lake Galilee, a big crowd gathered. It was so large that he had to sit in a boat out on the lake while the people stood on the shore. He used stories to teach them many things, and this is part of what he taught. Now listen, a farmer went out to scatter seed in a field. While the farmer was scattering the seed, some of it fell along the road and was eaten by birds. Other seeds fell on thin, rocky ground and quickly started growing because the soil wasn't very deep. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and dried up because they did not have enough roots. Some other seeds fell where thorn bushes grew up and choked out the plants, so they did not produce any grain. But a few seeds did fall on good ground where the plants grew and produced 30 or 60 or even 100 times as much as were scattered. Then Jesus said, "If you have ears, pay attention." When Jesus was alone with the 12 apostles and some others, they asked him about these stories, and he answered, "I have explained the secret about God's kingdom to you, but for others I can only use stories. And the reason is, these people will look and look but never see. They will listen and listen but never understand. If they did, they would turn to God and he would forgive them." Jesus told them, "If you don't understand this story, you won't understand any others. What the farmer is spreading is really the message about the kingdom. The seeds that fell along the road are the people who hear the message. But Satan soon comes and snatches it away from them. The seeds that fell on rocky ground are the people who gladly hear the message and accept it right away. But they don't have any roots, and they don't last very long. As soon as life gets hard or the message gets them in trouble, they give up. The seeds that fell among the thorn bushes are also people who hear the message, but they start worrying about the needs of their life. They are fooled by the desire to get rich and to have all kinds of other things. So the message gets choked out and they never produce anything. The seeds that fell on good ground are the people who hear and welcome the message. They produce 30 or 60 or even 100 times as much as was planted." Gary?
I'd like to invite the children back up. You had a children's story, and now you're going to be part of the sermon. Are you okay with that? I think the right answer is yes. Okay. Thank you for coming up. Now, I have to admit that partly this is penance for last Sunday. I got a little bit carried away and preached a long time, and you guys were so patient. So today we want to talk about listening and hearing. Okay, here's the question for you. Do you ever not listen to things that you hear? Like what? Okay, first of all, we're going to show you what we mean. I want you all to close your eyes, and I want you to listen really hard for sounds that we're not usually listening to, but that our ears are hearing, okay? Close your ears and listen really hard. Open your ears and listen really hard, okay? Ready? Okay. What'd you hear? Yes. Fans, right. Okay. What else did you hear? Yes. Clicking. What was the clicking? Maybe somebody's teeth. No. Okay. Clicking. Anything else you heard? I thought I heard a hymn book going into a rack. You know, sound. One of the coolest songs after communion. Do you ever hear that as people put their cups in there? That's a really cool one. If everybody was really quiet, you could hear the clock. I was in here trying it this week, and you can hear it going. And when the sermon gets long, you can usually hear it too. Sometimes we could hear cars or airplanes, lots of stuff. Now, why do our ears hear this when we ask them to? It's going in all the time, but why don't we listen to that? Seeing is better? You don't need to. All right. Well, I got to thinking about this, and I thought there's lots of reasons that we hear and don't listen. Sometimes we're trying to focus, right? Like now you're all back in school, most of you. And when you get there and you're sitting in your desk and your teacher's trying to talk to you and your friend's trying to talk to you and you're trying to listen to the teacher, right? And so you ignore your friend. Right? All right. That's focusing. Sometimes we don't hear because we don't like what we're hearing. So you're watching TV and your dad comes down and says, "It's dinner in half an hour. Please go clean your room." And what do you hear? "It's dinner in half an hour, blah, 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 blah." Yeah. Why didn't you hear the other part?
Because you didn't want to.
Didn't want to. Absolutely. Sometimes we don't hear because we're bored. We don't listen. So, you're on your phone with your friend, and she's telling you, "And this is what I'm wearing tomorrow," and you're going, "Oh, yeah, right." And you're looking out the window, and you're watching some dogs running around, and then she says, "And what do you think?" And you say, "I don't know, it looked like a dog to me." Sometimes we don't listen because it's a different language. Do you listen when somebody's talking a different language? Can you understand? Not so good. No. Or sometimes people talk and they use like $6 words, right? Big long words. You go, "What does that mean? I don't know. I feel silly." Or sometimes people don't listen because their ears don't hear everything. And so that's where the people up top there, Matt and Paul, they have these little doomahickeys that you put in your ear and then you can hear really good. Doomahickeys, right. So, guess what? That's what the sermon is today. It's all about how some people hear but don't listen. And some don't listen because they're bored, and some don't listen because they don't want to hear it, and some don't listen because they don't have an attention span longer than a gnat, and there's lots of different reasons, and they're just not listening. But what is the Bible, what do you think the story's about? It's a good deal to listen. Does that make sense? And that's why we come to church, and that's why we go to Sunday school, and that's why we go to clubs, and our parents read us Bible stories at night, so that we hear them, and we can figure them out after a while. We can listen. Does that make sense? Okay. I'm starting to lose you, so I better quit here. So, thank you very much. I'm going to keep on talking a little bit here. You can head back if you want. And try and listen to what I'm saying if you can, okay? Thanks so much for humoring me. Okay. 11 minutes. Let's see what we can do. There's this thing about our ears stop working at 12 o'clock, and I respect that. It's overpowered. Then the sound we hear is the grumbling of our stomachs. Last week we talked about, we started by looking at Mark chapter 1 verse 15. We're looking at the Gospel of Mark. We're doing an overview. We looked at chapter 1 verse 15, which is the sort of summary of the book, and it says, "The kingdom of God is near, repent and believe." And then we took a look at what the larger passage, chapter 1, 1 to 3, 6 was saying, and it was Jesus saying, you need to be ready to change. We're not talking about adjustment here, we're talking about change, like the disciples out there fishing, and Jesus says, "Follow me," and they said, "I'm not sure how we're going to pay the mortgage, but okay," and they laid down everything and walked and followed him. Today, the passage is talking about listening, just like we talk to the kids. And if you don't listen for the next 10 minutes, you already got it, so it's all right. But the passage is talking about listening. Now, if you read through the passage for today, chapter 3, verse 7 to chapter 6, verse 6, there's a different audience. Did you see who that was? It's the crowds. Time and again, Jesus is talking to the crowds. Now, you think, there's herds of them come when Jesus is speaking, and you say, for sure they've come to listen. But they didn't. They came to be entertained, right? So some of them, it's like going to MTS Center, only the tickets are free, and you're going to be entertained. Let us have it, Jesus. And they're wanting to hear him take on the leaders of the day, because they can't. And Jesus is just that smart that he says things and they're without words. And they're never without words. And they're hoping that Jesus will heal a few people because that's really cool. And they're hoping that Jesus will talk about controversial things. This is great. He's just one of those great speakers, right? They didn't come to change. And they didn't come to listen. They came to be entertained. Couple of passages in there are about his family. They came to hear him, but not to listen as well. They came to see if he was going to say something embarrassing. Because he does that to them. He keeps saying these things, and the family has to slink home down the alleys. And they're coming, please, Jesus, just come home. Quit this. The religious leaders are also there. They came to hear as well. They came to hear if he was going to say anything that they took offense to. But they didn't come to listen either. Only people who came to listen. Did you catch that when you read through it? The demons. The only ones who caught who he was. They knew who he was. They knew what he was saying. And they were terrified. We'll address that another time. So, that's the passage today. Starting in chapter 4, verse 1, we have this parable. Now, or story, as the CEV has it. Now, a parable is a story. Now, for those who want to listen, a parable is a story that goes alongside of a truth to help you understand. For those who don't want to listen, it's also great because you're not bored. You have something to do. You listen to a story. One commentator said, parables help people who don't want to believe to get by. So there it is. A parable is great for everybody. And it was. The people are listening, and everybody gets something out of it. So Jesus starts, and he says, this is a story about a farmer. And they go, oh, great, we're a farmer. Uncle Fred is a farmer. This will be a good story. We like stories about people we know. So he starts talking. There was a farmer who didn't have an air seeder. And so he broadcast seeded, you know, just throwing the seed out like this. He did not have GPS on his seeder, and so some of the seed went where it shouldn't have gone. Onto the path and onto the rocky soil. He did not have Roundup ready seed, so he couldn't spray with Roundup and kill the weeds, so up come the weeds. So, some of it worked, some of it didn't work. And they go, yeah, it's good. And we listen to a story like that and go, yeah. Drove down the road the other day, saw a field. It was a low spot. Obviously, the water had sat there. Nothing grew there. We get it. Some of the land works, some doesn't for all sorts of different reasons, right? Blight and all sorts of things that come along. So Jesus said, were you listening? And they go, oh, yeah. The crowd was happy. They got a nice story about a farmer, and they're going to go home and tell it to Uncle Fred, who's a farmer. Hey, Fred, let me tell you a story. The parents were happy. He didn't embarrass us this time. He said, oh, good. Nobody was angry, so we can go home in peace this time. The religious leaders were happy. He didn't say anything controversial that they're going to take him to task for. And the disciples said, huh? What was that about? Now, CEV is helpful in reading verses 10, 11, and 12. Because if you've read that in an NIV or NRSV or any of those translations, we land up with a bit of a problem. Mark quotes Isaiah 6, 9, and 10. All the Gospels quote it, so does Acts 28, and Romans chapters 9 to 11, that very difficult passage which says, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. You know the passage? And you read that, and they said, well, if God hardened his heart, how come we're getting so hard on Pharaoh? Leave the guy alone, it's not his fault. And that's kind of where this passage seems to be going. It seems to be saying, God hardened these guys' hearts so they wouldn't know the mystery of the kingdom. Well, God did it, then it's not their fault, right? But that's not, we don't want to try and make the scripture passage too easy. We want to read what it says. But that's not in keeping with the rest of the book of Mark, where he's trying to explain who Jesus is and get us to listen, right? So, what is he saying? Lots of theories, but probably the best that I could come up with is, many people came to hear and not to listen. And if you don't listen, you can't understand the mystery of the gospel. And if you don't understand the mystery of the gospel, you can't repent and be forgiven. And so the interpretation puts the onus back on us rather than on God. The bottom line is, regardless of whether we listen or not, or the people listened, God's ends were achieved. What was God's end? Chapter 1, verse 15, remember? The kingdom of God is near. So God is bringing that kingdom in, and we're not stopping it by not listening. It's still coming. I want to do one quick little sidetrack. Last week we talked about one of the secrets. People were told not to say that it was Jesus. And so I mentioned we'd bring it up today, so we will. Here there's a secret that it looks like nobody's supposed to know. And in chapter 3, we have the demons again wanting to say who Jesus is. And he said, no. Chapter 5, the little girl that he raises from the dead, he says to the parents and the family, don't tell anybody. He said, why not? Aren't they supposed to know? It's like we have a sermon here, or a service, and we say, don't tell anybody you were at church. We just worked at the Constitution. Part of our mandate is to go out there and tell people. We get a bit of a hint as we look at chapter 9, verse 9. It's the story of the Transfiguration. Jesus and Peter, James, and John have gone up the mountain. Moses and Elijah join them. There's this great big glowing thing going on. They come down the mountain, and Jesus says in chapter 9, verse 9, don't tell anyone until I've been raised from the dead. Now, last week we mentioned that when we read the book of Mark, we need to remember that it was written 30 or 35 years after Jesus died, and Mark is writing this to the church. So what is Mark trying to say here? What he's trying to say is that you can't take a little piece of what Jesus is about and say, now you got it. We need the whole thing. The teachings, the life, the death, resurrection, the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now we can understand. Now we can listen. And guess what? When Mark is talking, the people had all of that 30 years later. They know that Jesus taught. They know what Jesus taught. They know that Jesus died for them. They know he rose again, and they've experienced the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so he's saying to them, you guys can listen. You can listen. Your ears aren't closed. You can listen. Okay, back on to the passage. So verse 9, he's saying to the disciples, you get it, and everybody thinks they do. And they don't really. So what is it that the passage is about? Ingrid said it's about, not about seed, it's about dirt. I want to push that one step further. Yes, it is about dirt. It's about being good dirt. We're supposed to listen. But what is the larger passage about? Chapter 1, verse 15. You're going to know this by the time we're done. The kingdom of God is coming. And here's what the story tells us. No matter how much seed falls in bad soil, the seed, we're going to get a harvest. It's going to happen. The kingdom of God is going to grow with or without us. It's going to grow because God has called it into being. Come back to that in a second. Just a comment. Very often, or many of us have been raised to think that the kingdom of God comes with just sort of an explosion, whether that's political or military or cosmic at the end of time. It's not what the passage says. There are more than a few nations over the last 2,000 years who felt that they were going to bring in the kingdom of God. Some of those nations just may be around today. They were going to bring in the kingdom of God either politically or militarily. Not what the passage says. Some of us were raised to think that the kingdom of God was going to come at the end of time when God unleashed his angels and then says, go get them. And they come down and get all the bad guys. And, well, you've seen the movies too. They get all the bad guys and then the kingdom of God comes. It's not what the passage says. He says the kingdom of God is near. And as we read through the passage, we see that looking back, the kingdom of God began with Jesus. It's an already not yet thing. It's already here. We're waiting for the fulfillment, but the kingdom is coming now. In starting at verse 26 of chapter 4, there's another parable. It's the parable of the seed. It says the farmer stuck a seed in the ground. And in those days, they didn't irrigate and they didn't spray for weeds and they didn't fertilize. They just stuck the seed in the ground and went home and visited grandma or something like that. And then they'd come back. It's growing. Where'd it come from? mystery. Well, we now have all that figured out. But the point is that the kingdom of God is going to grow. The next parable starts at verse 30. It's a parable of the mustard seed. Tiny little seed goes in the ground, up comes this huge plant. How'd that happen? And what he is saying is, the kingdom of God, Jesus ushered in the kingdom of God, which is planted, been planted in our world. And you know what? It's growing. We watch the news, and we say, oh, can't be, look at all the bad things happening. Well, that's not necessarily the picture of reality. And if you read through history, the stories of how God has worked, amazing. We heard one today with Melanie. Amazing. Many of you have stories of how God has worked in very specific ways. The kingdom of God is alive and active and coming. Not only in our world, but in our church. We say, nah, it can't be. We've had enough mistakes that we've done as a church. Surely God's kingdom is going to start in the next one, and we'll sort of hope to hook in at the end. But no, it's at work here. And even regardless of what happens, we're not going to stop that. One more step. The kingdom of God is alive in your life and in my life. And sometimes some of us have had more rocky soil than we should. And a few more weeds, some of them we imported in our life that we didn't really need. And a few other stuff. But the kingdom of God is persistent. Look at your life, or look at the people around you. God slowly, slowly begins to work. We sometimes read this passage and say, this passage is about being bad soil, fix it up, smarten up. And yes, we do have a choice to be the soil that listens. But sometimes that takes time, and God is at work. So, here's the passage. It comes as an encouragement to us. Mark is saying to the church, God's kingdom will prevail. And it has started in our world, in our church, in our lives. And our choice is to be the kind of soil that allows us to listen. Not just to hear, but to listen so that what happens grows in our life. That takes a while. Like I said, we start off as rocky and thistles and all that kind of stuff. But slowly we open ourselves, hopefully as we grow, and God continues to work. We give up on ourselves and on our church and on our community pretty quick. God doesn't. God's kingdom has been planted, and it will grow. Hallelujah. May you experience the joy of God percolating in your life. And may you have the strength to say, yes, I want to be the kind of soil that has good ears. Amen.
If we could rise for the benediction and then remain standing for the praise and worship song, Unity. We have sung, we have prayed, and we have worshiped together. Go back into the world with your ears pitched to the sound of God's voice calling your name. Go back into the world with your eyes peeled for the face of Jesus in unexpected places. Go into your week with your soul poised to receive the Spirit of God. Amen.
Do we have unity? We're going to skip everlasting so that you guys can go to Perkins and have your lunch. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Jesus, help us live in peace. From our blindness, set us free. Fill us with your healing love. Help us live in unity. Many times we disagree, or what's right or wrong to do.
your hymn.